Welcome to All Things Business for Physicians, where I chat with marketers, accountants, physicians, and consultants to talk about everything like social media, office culture, running your medical practice, and how to align marketing and operations. If you're looking to grow your practice, get access to our patient acquisition and retention framework at hip.agency. Now I'd like to welcome today's featured guest, Nathan Pooley. Nathan is a John Maxwell certified coach, and he's actually my coach. After working with Nathan for just over a month, I've increased efficiency and I've been smashing my goals. Nathan, are you ready to share your story and talk about how to become a leader that your staff wants to follow?
Hey, Luke, absolutely. I'm excited about this opportunity. I appreciate you reaching out to me, and it's going to be great.
Awesome. So take a moment to introduce yourself and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
So my name is Nathan Pooley. I grew up here in Milton, Florida, and went to school here. And right out of high school, I went 2 semesters in college here locally, and then went to a seminary. And out of seminary, I didn't really do much with that degree, so I started a career at Pepsi that lasted almost 12 years. And that was when I did everything from sales to marketing to administrative management. But around my mid-20s, while I was still working at Pepsi, I really felt a call into leadership development. So I was able to get into a program with John Maxwell and study directly under him on leadership, training, coaching, and speaking. And that's really been, probably the most rewarding part of my education up to this point. I've been married for 10 years. I have an amazing family, wife, a little son. He's 18 months old, named Asa. And that's pretty much my life in a nutshell.
Yeah, thanks. I remember seeing that photo of you and John Maxwell on Facebook, and I was like, man, that's awesome. I was kind of jealous.
Yeah.
That's like one of my goals, is to meet him and maybe train under him once I save up some money.
Yeah, he's incredible person.
So let's talk about your area of expertise. What is an area that you really thrive in and you're able to bring expertise to your business?
You know, one of my pet peeves, one of the things that I've always enjoyed, is leadership. And I've considered myself a student of leadership from, even in my early college years. And I've always enjoyed reading and studying about great leaders. And what I've found with leadership is the mark of a great leader is his succession or her succession plan. And one of my passions is identifying young leaders and raising them up to take the business or the organization or that department farther than I ever could. And even within right now in our country, there's a huge vacuum for leaders. So what I've always just been passionate about is identifying the potential leaders within my business or organization and equipping them to be successful where they are.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've kind of found myself in a similar boat where, as a business owner, early on I thought, I was good at design, so I could start a marketing company and things like that. But once you start the company, you realize you can't really be an owner and a technician. So I found myself studying leadership, trying to do exactly what we're talking about today. How can I become a leader that the team wants to follow and has a fun time following? Because at the end of the day, even if I don't want to be a leader, I am a leader, and I can either choose to be a good leader or a bad leader. So that's why I'm really excited to chat with you today and chat about not just John Maxwell principles, but just leadership as a whole.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about your journey. Take us to your worst moment in leadership. This one should be good.
Yeah, no, this is good. I could give you one moment, but I could pinpoint several moments where it was the same dropped ball over and over. Part of my journey in becoming a trainer or a speaker, it was, obviously you had to get out in front of people. And I've always been more of a introverted type personality. So I've, looking back on my life as a leader, the transition was really hard to go from a follower to a leader. Because quite honestly, I didn't feel like I had the ability to do that. John Maxwell was asked one time, are leaders born? He said, of course, leaders are born. Everybody's born. Mm-hmm. He's like, but leaders are made. And for me, the gap between, you know, becoming a you know, knowing that I could lead and becoming a leader was huge. It was intimidating. You know, I procrastinated on many different things. I remember just my first kind of role in leadership was at a small church, and we had a big event coming up, and you know, it was kind of a train wreck. You know, things weren't done. There was a lot of drop balls. And looking back, it wasn't because, you know, I didn't have the people or I didn't have the time. It was just procrastination and intimidation. I didn't communicate well enough to the people that were under my leadership. Mm-hmm. So for me, you know, I take kind of the road of, you know, Bill Hybels talks about every leader has a blind spot. And I can't give you one experience or one moment. I could give you several where I didn't follow through on communicating with someone, or I didn't communicate clearly and something didn't get done and it affected the entire organization. So, you know, I'm learning every day that people are not mind readers. You know, you've got to communicate the vision. You've got to let people know how they're doing. You've got to give them updates. Even bad communication is better than no communication.
Yeah, I've learned that myself. And one thing that I do is I try to bottle things up, because I think, well, if I communicate, it could be potentially bad. How's this person going to take it? Am I going to say it the right way? Because I'm not necessarily thrilled about what just happened. I think a lot of times you almost have to wait, give it an hour, give it 2 hours, give it a day, and come back and say, hey, I just want to go over this and kind of put a process in place so it doesn't happen again and so we can be better. Because at the end of the day, if you're trying to better someone and the team and the process, who can really get mad at that? And if somebody does get mad at it, I think it's a key indicator. Maybe they're not cut out to be on the team.
Exactly. Luke, I think when there's not clear communication from myself as a leader, the culture gets reactive. You know, it's we react when things aren't done, when we react when deadlines aren't met. And as a leader, as a good leader, we want to act. And the only way to do that is to be able to have difficult conversations with folks and to get ahead of the ball and to be clear with your communication and what you expect out of your people.
Awesome. So let's dig into today's theme and chat about becoming a leader that your staff wants to follow. So this is a little bit different. On most of my podcasts, I actually interview physicians. You're not a physician. You've never worked in the medical field. But take us to a story. I know you have a story of when you went and studied under John Maxwell and what a physician told you. And that's really why we're here. And if you can share that story, I'll kind of pick up.
Yeah. So we were in Orlando, and part of the John Maxwell certification program, we spent 3 days in intensive with John Maxwell, where he taught one-on-one and in small private settings. And I recognized a friend of mine that was a doctor, and he was there, and I was curious on, you know, why, honestly, you know, was he changing careers? Was he wanting to pursue a career in leadership development? And we had a conversation in the lobby that was really quite incredible. And you know, he's a prestigious surgeon, one of the best in the United States in his field. And what he told me was, as, you know, going through college and studying to be a surgeon, honestly, that's all that college and his field taught him to be, was a surgeon. Mm-hmm. And as he began to grow his practice and hiring staff and managing staff, he realized that he was missing the tools to be able to lead and develop his people. Because regardless of how good you are as a surgeon, if you can't lead and develop your team, you don't have a good system to do what you do, it's not going to be sustainable. So we talked about really the few key things that he was going to do at his practice when he got back home. And it really was an eye-opener to me how, you know, when you have a specialized degree or you're in a specialized field, doesn't make you a good leader.
Right. Yeah. And so that's really where I want to focus in. And this, I think this episode could be for any business owner, but this podcast is really for physicians. And what I've learned over the course of working with physicians for 4 years now and being a business owner myself is what you just said earlier. Leaders are made. It's the same thing with a good business owner. I think a good business owner a lot of times is a good leader. Those two things are paralleled. You know what I mean? And so great business owners, they're not born. You don't come out just knowing how to run a business. You have to study this stuff. And so I'm not blaming any physician or any business owner, but if you want to get better, and for physicians out there who are about to run their own practice or they are running, you've got to work on leadership. You've got to be a leader that your team wants to follow. And this is going to, I believe this episode can start to help you in so many ways, but it can't obviously end here. You've got to listen to this and go out and really just hit the ground running to really become a good leader.
100%.
So what are some of the biggest challenges of being a great leader?
I've heard it said once that the craft or the art of leadership, the greatest challenge as a leader is to lead yourself. And honestly, that's, to me, is something I focus on every day. If I can't lead myself well, if I can't lead my family, if I can't lead my life, then I can't lead anybody around me. So to be a great leader, or to become a great leader, I think the first thing we have to focus on is within ourselves, leading our lives, becoming the change we want to see in our organization or in our practice, but really, truly, living our life within, you know, boundaries and having discipline and being the people that we want to work with and see around us. Really leading ourselves it's the greatest challenge that we'll ever have.
Definitely. I've heard it said like this: if you don't feed yourself, how are you supposed to feed someone else? You know, if you're not full, if you're empty, how can you pour into someone else? So fill yourself up, study, better yourself, because it's the only way to pour into your team.
100%.
How important is it to have goals and share those goals with your team?
Zig Ziglar says it like this: when you don't have a target and you don't have a goal, you'll hit it every time. And I think goals are so important, not only personally, but within an organization, because it gives people something to work towards. It gives them, you know, vision for the future. You know, an old proverb where there's no vision, people, they perish, actually means they just don't have a lack, they have a lack of clarity. It's like walking around in the dark. Goals bring clarity and light to the organization, and it gives everyone something to work towards together. And then when the goal is achieved, or even if you get halfway to the goal, you have a moment to celebrate with your team. You have something clear and defined that you can rally around. You know, everybody, I think at some point in their life have had a dream, but I've heard it said that goals are deadlines, putting deadlines on your dreams. So you can be a dreamer and you can be a visionary and you can have a lot of things you want to accomplish through your life or your practice or your, you know, whatever it is that you're doing in your business, but goals are really putting deadlines to those dreams, really fleshing it out.
Yeah, that's great. There's a book, The Great Game of Business. It talks about having, very spot on financial goals and sharing those goals and the numbers, you know, mm-hmm. with your team and how they shared the numbers with their business. And they were able to really rally the troops, you know, because his point, the author's point in sharing the actual numbers with the business of what you're bringing in and operational costs and things like that is, if you don't tell them, they're going to guess. So, you know, if I don't tell you, hey, my business, we're doing $2 million a year, but our expenses are, you know, 1.9, so we probably need to do a little bit better. Well, that employee may have no concept of business or finances and may think, oh, well, maybe this company does $5 million and maybe the owners are just, you know, really living easy, living large, and here I am making this small salary. Transparency is everything. So if you have that transparency and say, hey, here's our goal, here's what we're doing, here's our expenses, we really need to rally the troops and everybody work as a team. And, you know, also, what does every team do? They all keep score. Mm-hmm. If a team's not keeping score, they're, I don't know what game they're playing. And it's the same for business. So that's kind of my little takeaway from that book, The Great Game of Business. I'm not trying to plug that book, but it's just awesome.
Yeah, I love the analogy of you know, your employees being owners. when you share the information with them, when you share all the information, that's what separates an owner from a renter. And really, you don't want temporary employees. You don't want rental employees. You want employees who own the business. And as owners of the business, they should have access to that.
Yeah.
And I think you'd be really surprised the momentum you will gain from an employee when you trust them with owner-type information. They'll respect you for that.
That's awesome. Is delegating a key part of leadership?
Absolutely. One of the philosophies I try to live by is only do what only you can do. Be
sounds
excellent.
Simple enough.
It sounds simple enough, but it's crazy how busy your schedule can get with things that aren't your responsibility that you really should be doing. What is your area of expertise? What is it that only you can do? Zone in on those skills. And when it comes to delegation, I try to live by the 80% rule. If there's someone in your organization who can do it 80% as well as you can, delegate it.
Yeah.
It'll never be done as well as you can do it. If you're really good in this certain field or this certain area, but if you have an employee who can do it 80% as good as you, then, empower them and let them do it.
Yeah. And maybe just have short check-ins with that person to kind of go over what they were doing to get them to be 100%, optimize. But if you don't entrust, I've learned this through really failure. But if you don't entrust people to do certain things, and if you're going to micromanage them, they'll kind of just give up and say, okay, well, I shouldn't really own this because at any moment he's going to step in and try and micromanage it. And so you've got to let people own it. If they fail, let them fail, and then call a meeting and say, hey, how did this fail? What can I do to help you? What processes can we put in place? And you know a lot about our business. Recently, we just built a standard operation procedure manual, and it's a Google Doc. You can click in there, open up more Google Docs, and there's a procedure for everything. Well, we just built that 4 years in. Looking back, it's like, man, we needed that day one. Mm. But better late than never, right? And so if you're expecting people to do things that you do, do you have documented training? If not, how the heck do you expect people to remember these things and do them well? You've got to document your process. That's what I've learned.
100%. And that's your succession plan. That's how you scale your business. That's how you leverage your business to be worth money. Is if only you can do it and it's all dependent upon you, then the reality is it's going to live and die with you.
Yeah, definitely. So how do great leaders celebrate wins?
I think great leaders celebrate wins clearly, number one, and consistently. Not just at the end of the year, but one of the things that we did at Pepsi when I worked there for almost a decade is we would monthly we gather data. The thing about data and to celebrate a win is you've got to have something to celebrate. And whatever you're not measuring, you can't improve it. So one of my roles there for a few years was just measuring data, measuring different departments, measuring, profits and loss. But it was giving us something to celebrate. We called it gain sharing. But we had metric scorecards for every department. And it got to the point where employees were coming to the metric scorecards every day wanting to see where they were, wanting to evaluate their progress, wanting to see where they were with in comparison to other employees. And this could be anything that you can measure. But there was rewards that came with different wins and things like that. But I feel like when it comes to celebrating, what you celebrate, you replicate. So it may not necessarily be a huge win, but even if you've made gained 1 inch, that's something to celebrate because you want to keep going in that direction, maintaining that momentum.
Yeah.
But it's key. It's crucial in the health of an organization. It's to celebrate the wins and even celebrate, just learning can be a win. Failure can be a win when you learn from it. So you can celebrate many different aspects of business.
I think that's something most organizations overlook is keeping track of these goals and how you can measure them and celebrate them. So it pumps up the team. It's like, when a team wins the Super Bowl or, the NBA championship, they go crazy. Their hometown throws them a parade. The president has them to the White House. And it's like, obviously you've got to know what your top goal is. What is your Super Bowl and celebrate it big, you know, go all out. And then when they're small things, have a pizza party or a cookout, you know, do things like that.
Yeah. The University of Miami, the defensive coach this year, they had this really creative way of celebrating turnovers. So the defensive team never had any turnovers for 2016.
Wow, that's awesome.
So the defensive coordinator had this, it was pretty cool. They had this like really big gold chain with this huge charm. And if any defensive player caused a turnover, they got to wear that necklace or whatever for the rest of the down or mm-hmm. the rest. And it quadrupled the amount of turnovers just because the defensive coordinator recognized that, okay, we're lacking in this area. And he found a creative way to celebrate it. And it completely changed the whole culture of that defensive program there at University of Miami just by celebrating a win, a turnover.
And I love studying athletes and sports teams just because it's so obvious. Athletes are obvious leaders to kind of study, you know, like Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, you know, Tim Tebow, just studying what they did and how they overcame obstacles, to me, it's just awesome. So, good. What is one characteristic that every great leader has?
Well, that's a powerful question. You know, I think personally, the people in my life, the leaders in my life, and also the ones that I've studied throughout history, there's one clear thing that defines a good leader. And it's they value people. They really genuinely care about people. And at the end of the day, regardless of what business we may be in, it's always about people. People is the greatest commodity that we have. You may sell something, you may sell Pepsi, you may operate, you may, you know, sell a service, but at the end of the day, it's always about people. And great leaders, I think what separates a good leader from a great leader is what I call a servant leader. They really value people and they put the needs of others before themselves, which is hard to do, and it's a daily practice, it's a daily discipline. But the greatest leaders I've ever encountered, John Maxwell, one of them, he truly cares about people and their needs above his own.
So moving on, just a few more questions. Should leaders own their mistakes, and how does this help a team?
You know, owning a mistake is hard to do. It's easy to reflect it and, you know, blame the circumstance, blame someone else. But, you know, John Maxwell, in his book, 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, one of the laws is called the Law of the Lid. And basically it says an organization, business, is never going to grow past the level of leadership of its executive, of its CEO, of its owner. And when it comes to mistakes and owning your mistakes, I think if as a leader, as the CEO, chief executive officer, if we don't own our mistakes, our employees will never own theirs, and we'll never get any better. And as a leader, oftentimes I've seen some of the greatest leaders, not only do they own their mistakes, they own the mistakes of their team, because we're all in this together. So if someone on my team makes a mistake, I make a mistake, and I'm gonna pick up the ball and run where they left it. You know, I'm gonna fill in the gap as the leader, because I'm that vested in my people and in the success of this organization.
Yeah, that's awesome. And can you imagine a team where no one owns any type of mistake? I mean, that's just gonna fall to pieces. So own your mistakes and apologize. Say, hey, I was wrong. I messed up. I think that's huge, because it also allows your team to know that you don't have a God complex. You can mess up. You can make mistakes. And that's just part of life. And I've realized also that clients that cannot be okay with you making a mistake, it's probably best not to work with those clients. Because while we do strive for perfection, there's going to be mistakes made because we're people. And if we can't collectively work together with our clients to improve, it's probably not best to work with them at all, because having the expectation of perfection is just not realistic.
100%.
So this has really been key for me in the past few weeks. Do leaders have mentors?
Another great question, Luke. I think leaders have mentors, and they have trainers, and they have coaches. You know, growth is not automatic. Growth is intentional. And there's this threefold cord of growth that I've found in my life as a leader. It's having training, having a coach, and having a mentor. You know, and they're all different. Training is where you get information. You get good information so you can make good decisions. A mentor is someone who has been on the journey you're on, and they're 10 or 20 years down the road. So you look at their life, that's where you want to be in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. So they can mentor you along that path and help you get to where you want to be and meet your goals. But the third part of this threefold cord is coaching. And coaching approaches someone as, rather than an empty glass, as an acorn, that getting that person in the right environment so they can be successful, so that they can grow. So mentorship is crucial, but I think training and coaching is also very important.
All right, so we already kind of talked about this a little bit, communication, but I want to circle back to it. So sometimes when things annoy me or staff do something wrong, like I said earlier in the episode, I don't really communicate that well. And I can see, obviously, that that's not really best for growth and cohesion within the team. So how can leaders with the same issue improve their communication skills? Is there certain things or a process they can kind of start to implement to improve?
Yeah, that's another really good question. I think the first start is to kind of measure and see where you are. You know, get some honest feedback from your team. If your team won't give you honest feedback, ask your spouse, you know, but if someone that's close to you, a friend, a confidant, you know, what is my communication skills on a scale of 1 to 10? And I think we all, if we really truly kind of hit the pause button, we can all communicate better, more clearly. But the first part of it is to see where you're lacking and actually where you can grow your growth areas. You know, my blind spot as a leader was communication. You know, I would just put my head down and just get things done and not communicate with the team. And that doesn't work. You know, but it took some hard lessons and some dropped balls and some things that didn't get done for me to realize, okay, this isn't the team's fault. This is me lacking communication with my people and expectations. Again, they're not mind readers. You know, just because you know what needs to be done doesn't mean that they know. And just because you can do it easily doesn't mean it's going to be easy for them. You know, it may take several conversations. There's a book called The Art of the Difficult Conversation, and it talks about how basically the success of your life year to year is going to be the result of the amount of difficult conversations that you're willing to have.
Wow.
And you've got to be able to do that. You've got to be able to sit down and, you know, get past the emotional aspect of it to really see the organization grow and to see your communication just really go to the next level.
Yeah, that's huge. I'm glad we kind of circled back to that, because I think that's so big, and there's so many different things we could talk about. But if you only get what Nathan just said from this episode, I mean, you could study that for years. So that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that. So we're at the end and it's time to speed things up. What's the best advice you've ever been given?
Best advice. That's a hard answer. But I'll shoot from the hip here and kind of give you the John Maxwell philosophy. The best advice I've ever been given is that leadership is influence. And that's really what your aim in life as a leader is. You want to influence people. And you can't influence people that you don't love. So when you really boil it all down, at the end of the day, you focus on valuing people and loving people, and the influencing aspect's just going to come naturally because I know you care about them.
What's the worst part of your job and how do you overcome it?
It's hard to answer because I really enjoy what I do and I enjoy working with people. But even as a surgeon, you know, say you're listening to this and you're a surgeon, you have a practice, you only see people when they're sick, when they need help. Mm-hmm. And so you're the fixer. So that can be a hard career path when your entire life is just people coming to you that have problems. You know, as being a coach, trainer, or even as a pastor, you know, 99% of what I do is damage control, as people are coming to me with problems. And sometimes it's hard to shut that off. It's hard to not let that affect you. So for me, I've got to find ways to fill my tank, you know, retreat often, take vacations, you know, turn the phone off when I get home, shut off, you know, the career stays in the career, and then my home life is separate. Mm-hmm. You know, having those clear boundaries to where they don't really overlap each other.
Yeah, that's good. What's a personal habit that contributes to your success?
Number one would be coaching. Having somebody that's equally vested in the success of what I am doing, but that's also able to help encourage me, help me kind of get some goals, to write them down, to see clearly, and is a voice into my life that's kind of a third party. You know, they're not a vested interest. The only vesting they have is for my success. So coaching has been a huge part of growing as a leader. And I think the second piece would be training. You know, having access to good information for whatever field that you're in. You know, what wells are you drawing from to get better? You got to have good information to make good decisions. You got to have some good wells to draw from so that you can continue to improve.
Can you share an internet resource that helps you?
John Maxwell, again, I know I've talked about him quite a bit, but he has a daily kind of inspirational email he sends out called A Minute with Maxwell. And I enjoy starting my day that way, and kind of just, it's always a really good nugget of information. So that's been helpful for me. And then I'm a student of a guy named Mark Batterson. He's kind of a leadership guru, but he also does some things in business and in the church world as well. But I kind of, try to keep sources that are close and easy to get to, you know, podcasts and things like that. But John Maxwell's definitely at the top of my list.
Awesome. So you already shared one book, but maybe you want to share multiple. What are some books you'd recommend and why?
Well, you know, coming up on the end of the year here and, you know, getting ready to launch into 2018, there's a book I read every year that's absolutely changed my life. You know, I can give you two, but there's one for certain, and I've given these books out to many of my friends and family. It's called In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. That's a long title. In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day. There's
sounds serious.
It's a really encouraging book. The whole idea of BHAGs came out of that book, which is big, hairy, audacious goals. And it's kind of, the whole concept of the book is to live life on the offense and to really go for it. And the second book is As a Man Thinketh, written by James Allen back in, I want to say, the early 1900s. You can read it in about 30 minutes, but that's another book that I read every year because it's just full of great information.
Wow. I haven't read either one of those, so I'm going to check those out. All right. So let's end this thing with you telling listeners how they can get in touch with you.
Awesome. So if you are interested just in kind of any John Maxwell training or, want more information on that, you can go to nathanpooley.com, or you can email me at nathan@nathanpooley.com. And I'd love to hear from anyone who maybe you just have some questions, or also if you just want to kind of keep updated with what's happening within Nathan Pooley's coaching career, you can do that there. Also, you can email me at nathan@upperroompensacola.com. So we just recently planted a church on Pensacola Beach, and that's something that I'm really passionate about. And if you wanted more information on how to get involved there, you can find more info at upperroompensacola.com.
Yeah, that's awesome. So I didn't plan on giving you a little coaching plug, but I will, simply because it's been so helpful for me. I think we're on week 6 of coaching. And I really have just started telling everybody I come in contact with about it, because it's crazy how successful it's been, really just talking about the same thing week after week. And you'd be surprised with your top 5 goals what new things come out of those goals every week we talk about them, and a clear action list. And I really believe some of the best ideas I've had in my life, business-wise, have come out of the past 6 weeks. And that's why I'm so stoked about it, is it's crazy. You just asking questions and me really thinking about it and writing it down. You know, I always had goals, and sometimes I wrote down the goals, But if you're doing it every week, you're really holding yourself accountable. And I think that's huge to be able to go back here and look at week 5, week 4, week 3, and see that I've marked out key things. I mean, we've launched a brand new website that speaks just to physicians. We're working on this podcast right now. I could go on and on. There's so many things that this coaching series through, you know, just through talking with you weekly has really just put tons of gas on the fire. And I would suggest it for anybody. Obviously you can't have 1,000 clients, but, you know, find a coach in your area, find somebody you look up to, find somebody who's doing it right and meet with that person and write down your top 5 goals and top priorities within those goals.
That's awesome, Luke. I really appreciate the compliment, and coaching has changed my life. It really has. I there's no way I would have been able to do some of the things that I've been able to do without the help of a coach. And the power of coaching is not in the person, it's in the process. So to echo what you said, find a good coach who knows the process of coaching. And there's many different resources for that, but coaching truly has changed my life, and I do appreciate the kind words. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you. So give us some final words. What's the best advice you can tell our listeners who are struggling to become a leader that their staff wants to follow?
You know, this is a pretty common saying, but I feel like it's where the rubber meets the road when it comes to leadership and people actually wanting to follow you rather than having to follow you. Is people, they don't really care how much you know until they know how much that you care. And when you have an employee that really truly believes that you care about them, regardless of what field that you're in, if you can communicate that to your people clearly, that you value them and you really do care about their success, even if that success is going to come from another organization because they can't work there anymore. Like, but if you can communicate to your team, I care about you, I like you, you can like me, you know, like I am for you. The more clear you can make that, the more valued they feel, the more trust there's going to be. And that's the difference between an employee who won't show up on time and an employee who will walk through a wall for you. It's because they know that you care about them. And at the end of the day, they want to do the right thing because I want to make my boss, I want to make him proud. I want to follow him because I know he's going to lead me somewhere great because he cares about my well-being.
Right. That's huge. Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, I just want to thank you so much. I hope this really helps physicians who are struggling and looking to take their practice to the next step. I would just really compel them, work on your leadership as much as you can, get a coach, study business, and just improve and optimize.
Absolutely. Thank you, Luke. It's been an absolute honor.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Okay, listeners, I hope this helped. We'd love to know what you thought about today's podcast, so shoot me an email at luke@hipcreativeinc.com and let me know things you are implementing from today's episode. Also, if you have any ideas on topics or just ideas for the podcast in general, let me know. To learn more about Hip Creative, head over to hip.agency. Thank you so much.